Hello, and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. As always, thank you for coming by. I always do appreciate it. You know, doing this helps put me in a better mood. This is something I look forward to every week. I think, as I mentioned, I get to share my books with all of you. And, yeah, today I just kind of a cruddy mood all around. I don't know. I pretty much have to stop reading the news because it just makes me angry. I saw a report today that apparently Fox News is the most trusted news network in America. Can someone explain that to me? I feel like I hit myself on the head and there's a Captain Kirk with a goatee wandering around and there's something that I'm not getting. So anyway, I'm here. We're talking about books. Books makes me happy. So why don't we get into this? This is, of course, the last Thursday of the month, so it is Dresden Files week, and I gave you a clue last week. Not a clue. I keep saying that. I mean, it's a habit. What can I say? I gave you a trivia question last week. I asked you, who is buried under Harry Dresden's floor? And the answer to that, which unfortunately I did not get from my legions of minions or fans or whatever you're called, the answer to that is the fallen angel Lassiel, who is one of the Denarians, a particularly nasty tribe of fallen angels who really just want to ruin everything. So, no points this round. Sorry, everybody, you're going to have to do better next time. Anyway, this brings us to the Dresden Files, book number 7, Deadbeat, by Jim Butcher. Hell's bells count in this book is 13. Now, while I was on my long commute to work, which is not so bad, it gives me more reading time, you know, 40 minutes on the train, I wondered what the Harry Dresden from Stormfront would have made of the Harry Dresden from this book. I imagine he probably would have been scared. And to be honest, I don't think I'd be able to blame him. You see, in this book, there is necromancy afoot in Chicago. And as much as he doesn't want to be, Harry's in the middle of all of it. He's been charged by one of the most dangerous vampires in the world, Mavra of the Black Court, to find the missing volume of a series written by one of the most notorious necromancers in human history. You see, when the necromancer Kemmler was alive, it took nearly the entire fighting force of the White Council of Wizards to stop him. Now his disciples are all hunting for the book, trying to be the first one to kill everyone in Chicago, and thereby become a god. It's a mission that Harry can't refuse. If he should do so, Mavra has evidence in her possession that would destroy the career of one of the people closest to Harry, Lieutenant Karen Murphy of the Chicago Police Department. In the previous book, Murphy helped Harry take out a nest of Black Court vampires, killing several humans who had been enthralled to the vamps. These Renfields were human only by technicality. But there's a photograph of Murphy blowing one's head off, and that would still be damning evidence. Should Harry not do what Mavra wants, the pictures would be released, and the one thing that Murphy truly loves would be gone. The point of this book, broadly, is Harry discovering that past actions still have present consequences, and that the choices he has to make aren't always good ones. While Harry does save the day, of course, he does so at a cost. You see, Harry's become legitimately scary by this book. His friends and his allies aren't sure about him anymore, either about his motives or even his sanity. The people who have stood steadfastly by him now find themselves afraid of him and what he might do. And for good reason, really, you know. Harry's been through a lot in the last few books. He's lost the woman he loves to Red Court vampires. He very nearly lost his hand fighting Mavra. And now he's absolutely terrified of using fire magic as a result. On top of all that, he's discovered that being someone's brother doesn't automatically mean you get to understand them, or like them, or be able to live with them. So yeah, Harry's had it rough. With most humans, it's hard to see change from the inside, and I'm sure Harry doesn't think he's changed all that much. He knows he's gotten a little angrier, maybe a little more solitary, but from his point of view, it's a logical progression. For people who aren't with him all the time, you know, Billy the werewolf, Mac the world's best tavern owner, for example, the changes are drastic. They're truly frightening. Harry's still a good guy, don't worry about that. He's just not a nice guy. This book is, of course, awash in general awesomeness, and introduces a lot of good new characters, both on the good and the bad sides. My favorite, of course, is Waldo Butters, who is the medical examiner for the Chicago PD. He goes from being a slightly quirky medical examiner who kind of believes in the weird and unusual. You know, he spent 90 days under psychiatric care when he refused to classify vampire remains as human. But by the end of the book, he becomes positively heroic, and he is a very good avatar for the reader. We all like to believe that we would take the world of the supernatural, if it existed, in stride. But we probably would have reacted just like Butters did when he first saw things that he was not prepared for. Denial, disbelief, and then, of course, abject terror. He comes around, though, as I'm sure all of us would. We also get to meet a few of the remaining wardens of the White Council. The war has gone very hard on their numbers, and there are very, very few available to fight a group of mad necromancers in Chicago. The Red Court has dealt them such heavy blows, it's not unreasonable to think that there's a mole in the White Council somewhere. Who it is, though, of course, will have to wait for another book. Their numbers have been slashed, and they need every able-bodied magic user they can get. The deal they offer Harry for their assistance is a surprising one, but it does make perfect sense, and it will play heavily into the books that follow. There's also one genuine holy shit moment in this book. I won't tell you what it is, because that would just spoil the whole thing. All I can say is it's the end of chapter 38. You can't miss it. So from here on out, this is going to be a very different series. Bigger, darker, if that were possible. Building on the foundation of the previous books to make something far more elaborate and interesting. I can't wait to see what it ends up being. So let me give you a quote, and the quote is very simple. It is Waldo Butters who says his mantra of power, Polka will never die. So there you go. That is Dead Meat, book number 7 in the Dresden Files. I hope you like it. And I do hope you are reading along in one way or another. The Dresden Files are very good books, and I think most of you could probably handle one book a month. So, there we go. So, next week's book. It's a bit of a departure from what I usually do, I have to admit. It's kind of a different genre than anything else. It is nonfiction. Your clue is this. It's sort of threefold. I'll give you two words to Google and one that's just interesting. Two things to Google. Take a look at Gestalt Therapy and Pennsylvania. There we go. That should really lead you right to it, to be honest. And it's written by a member of my family. There we go. That is all you need to know. I expect a torrent of emails this week. So that's about it for this week, and I thank you for joining me as well. What else do I have book-wise? I've been reading a lot of Terry Pratchett, mostly just to relax my brain. So if you're interested in Terry Pratchett, by all means, keep reading. It's good fun. And I found an excellent, excellent comic that I recommend. If you remember, last week we were talking about superheroes and philosophy. We were asking the question, why do superheroes do what they do? Why does Superman go out there and save humans all the time? Well, this comic by Mark Waid and Peter Krause, called Irredeemable, looks at that question, but in a slightly different way from Superman. It asks the question, how far can you push a superhero before he snaps and starts killing everyone? It's really, really amazing. I just read the first volume of it, and I am shocked at this book, which means I automatically have to buy all the rest of them right now. Or you can buy them for me if you like. It doesn't matter. It's just you need to read Irredeemable. If you like comics and if you like superheroes, that's all I got to say to you. So that is my recommendation for the week. Other than that, thank you very much for coming by. You know I always appreciate it, and I'm always happy to have you here. So I will see you next week, and until then, keep reading. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you would like to send me some email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes or become a fan on Facebook. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. So feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. Music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.